6:02 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn on this hump day Wednesday. Get your feet on the floor. Jump start your day. What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up?
Oh, I'm just like, you need this? No, I need Advil or something.
Ed thinks he broke his foot. Was I supposed to
you
say
hurt
that?
You hurt your foot?
Yeah, bad. I think I heard it Sunday. And it,
that's what happens, man, when you turn your foot sideways and put it up somebody's ass. Yeah, it doesn't fit that way. What do you do?
It can.
CrossFit? You out there with them CrossFitters?
I was lifting. I didn't do CrossFit. And I think I just, you know, you could put a lot of, you could put a couple hundred pounds on your thigh muscles, but those little bones and stuff in your feet, oh.
Oh, yeah, they're very fragile.
You got tiny little bones in your feet and your hands.
It took me four pairs of footwear to get to work today. I tried flip-flops. They hurt too much because the foot's swollen.
Really?
Yeah, because the straps are grabbing where it's hurting.
You have your shoes tied or you leave them untied?
I left the left one untied.
Yeah.
I'm going to see, I may go see Mrs. Serrato after the show.
Mm. Well, I had therapy yesterday. My therapist wants me to learn how to play guitar or banjo. It's kind of crazy because, like, we're trying to find something I can do since I'm not playing sports anymore. And now it's like I'm thinking about picking up a guitar and starting from scratch. It's kind of a weird thing because, like, I don't know if you know this.
I want you to play the banjo.
I would love to play the banjo.
I want to see you play the banjo.
Well, the thing is, the reason she brought it up is that we have pickers in my family where it's like.
Those pickers?
Yes, those two. But they get out and they play a little bluegrass. Mm-hmm. Bing, 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 bing. You know, they get together and just jam. And play songs. So, at the family reunion. And then you'd meet a date. It's always nice. Tight bloodlines. But no, she was. I have the softest hands in the world, but you have to, like.
You know. You always tell us that.
Everybody that.
But don't you have to callus your fingers up?
I think they get callus as you play.
Yeah. I'm worried about that.
I doubt it means that, like, you have to have callus. You have to be like an auto mechanic before you play guitar.
No, I'm not saying so. I haven't worked a hard day in my life, though.
That is, your hands are the sign of never doing a day of manual labor.
And people think I'm joking. It's like, oh, he's got. I have the softest hands.
You know what the problem's going to be for you?
Guinness Book of World Records.
And I know this.
What?
You don't like to do anything you're not already good at.
That's true.
I know.
No, not. I will know within 2 weeks whether or not guitar is for me or not. I will know.
That's not, like, long enough.
Yeah, it is. No, because whether I'm picking it up and I feel comfortable with it. I knew the first time I played pool, even though I was a math major, hey, this geometry ain't geometry. pool was not for me. I didn't know how to hold the damn stick. Somebody's like, what are you doing? So I knew it wasn't for me. But if I start doing something and I feel like I could be relatively good at it, I'll put in the effort. There's just not a lot of things I think I'm really good at. So it's a handful of things.
Come and take some foreign language.
Why?
I'm going
why would you
to.
Do that?
That's the other thing.
See?
Why would you take foreign language? Why would you want to do that?
Yeah.
We're joking. Making fun of someone. I'm sorry. It's an inside joke. Let me jump back outside.
Well, but no, like with what you're saying, that's the other thing is we talked about picking up a foreign language, and I might pick up French again because I think I could pick it up really quick. I took it for 5 years, so I'm assuming once you get the ball rolling that
we have a lot of, you know, foundation there.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. Like I think picking up a second language.
You guys got a lot of idle time, boy. I don't have time doing this stuff, man.
You have 15 jobs, of course you know. Just,
foreign languages, playing the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I played the violin.
I did too.
Did you really?
Yeah, and in school I played
that'd
drums.
Be the coolest instrument ever. That's the one I would want to play if
the
I could.
Violin?
Absolutely.
Drums and violin.
I played, but I had a music teacher who was a little too handsy, so I stopped playing.
Really?
Yeah, it made me uncomfortable. Like, I don't know that he did anything wrong, but he
made you uncomfortable. Yeah. That's saying something.
Like, hey, man, I know how to do this.
Jeremy's all talk. I can imagine some dude trying to put his hands on him.
You ain't got to hold my elbow and then brush my hair. Like, what are you doing, man?
My music teacher name was Mr. Care, and I remember because it was spelt weird. It was K-J-E-R. Mr. Care. He was awesome, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he care?
That's what I was going to say.
Well, he
got me.
He did. He was, I mean, he made you enjoy. I took violin with him in school. I took drums on the outside of school. But he gets very enthusiastic about it. And he kind of, it was infectious.
So I'm going to be looking for a guitar teacher then. I took violin for three or four years.
You should take Italian with me because then you could mock me well. when you make fun of me.
I don't mind that either. The only thing I wouldn't like is that you'd be so far ahead of me right now that I'd be learning just basics, right?
I'm not.
Yeah. What's your name?
That was David.
They would hate.
We're past that.
They would hate me. Hey, Copernicus. Hey, got your shoes and your face and your feet. What are you doing over there, huh?
What is this battle that I'm seeing about that Jimmy's is going through about these crab cakes?
Oh, man, don't even get me started on this.
Who has Maryland crab cakes, by the way?
People out of Maryland, out of state, yeah. Have Maryland
crab
cakes.
You're not getting Maryland crab meat enough to make crab cakes right
they
now.
They said Maryland crab cakes. On the menu, it says Maryland crab, made with real Maryland crab.
You see it?
Yes, it's on the menu. That's what they called them out for. And it's $66.
For what?
For the crab cakes.
Show me that.
All right, that's what the Inside Edition report said.
Yeah, but no, did you see it though?
I'll bring up the menu.
When I looked on and I saw the crab special was $30-something for an 8-ounce crab cake in the side. But that's what I saw.
Here's my issue with this: an Inside Edition or whatever it is that feel like they broke the story. You can only crab from April to December 15th.
Yeah.
How the hell are you going to have Baltimore crabs year-round?
That's not what Mr. Conrad said.
Well, then he's lying.
You know what? And he's lying. And I hate to tell you this.
Or he's buying illegal stuff.
I hate to tell you this, but Conrad's crab cake shouldn't be in the same conversation with Jimmy's. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It just, I mean, if Pappas or Costas and or somebody like that is slapping Jimmy's around, that's in the same conversation.
I just don't like it because I feel like this is some veiled attempt to like, oh, they're deceiving. Nobody's deceiving you. Like, stop it. If you have 4 months out of the year that you can't get crabs, what do you want them to do? You want them to freeze the crab meat and then thaw it out?
I'm looking at the menu now, or the online menu, just as famous crab cakes. I don't see Maryland in anything here. I'm just pulled it up online.
I love how breaking news. Brett Favre may return.
So they have one that's a 1-pound class Mr. Jimmy Classic, which is $66.
There's two for $66. Yeah,
twin crab cakes, but then the third one down.
More.
It goes twin crab cakes, 8-ounce. That's two for $66.
The boss, it's 1 pound. Yeah, what's a pound? It's two of the other ones.
I understand that. I'm just saying the report said that crab cake is Maryland
blue
crab.
This is the problem. The report said. The report also said the server told him it was Maryland crab cake. The server got it wrong. It's not a Maryland crab cake. I mean, that's the thing that gets me. Everybody's running with the report said. Do you go to Jimmy's? Do you go there? I mean, I think to me personally, you're bored.
Yeah.
This is much ado about nothing. You're so bored right now.
If a place gets steam crabs or any kind of crabs from out of like year round, if they have it year round, they have to go to Louisiana and have them sent here. You have to. I don't know what this whole story is about. Like somebody said it to me one point. It's like, hey, you know, some of the places in Maryland, the crabs aren't. They're from Louisiana. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm reading the same thing.
Because you can crab down there year round.
Famous crab cake served with house crackers and bay sauce, choice of one size. It's twin crab cakes. 8 ounces, two of them, $66. Single crab cake, 8 ounce, $34.
And then I'm looking at the crabs. It just says male blue crabs.
So I think the reason that they got upset was that people got upset is because the server said they asked, is it made with Maryland crab? And then the server said yes. So then when they tested it and said that it wasn't from there, they said, well, then you're lying.
They tested it?
Yeah, they tested it.
Did they really?
They took it to an outside...
this is right out of Seinfeld.
This is
DNA on crabs?
This is from a server
right?
Saying, yes, is a server. This is what this is from.
I'm lost here because I never heard this. You guys mentioned it.
This is not...
was this reported?
This is not John. This is not John or Tony Minadak and saying, yes, we have Merle. This is... You know,
yeah, the kid they hired.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. You know what I mean? This is akin to one of the college kids we bring in giving inside information about our show. That's what this is.
Was this in the paper or
it was on
TV?
What was it? It was on TV.
Really?
Inside Edition.
Inside Edition. This is like big time.
It's so stupid.
Inside Edition.
Yeah, this was national.
That's what I'm saying.
Only a 3-minute story.
If you watch the beginning of it, it's like they're talking about breaking a story. What are you breaking? Really? What are you? Yeah, you did.
Wait a minute.
Hang on.
Yes.
Wait a second. I am totally. I feel like you're messing with Inside Edition, the syndicated TV show.
Yes,
they did this.
Is it really any different than the New York Post? It's Inside Edition. It's not like Pulitzer Prize winning stuff here.
That's not what I'm getting. I get that.
What did John Tesh like, start on Entertainment
What kind
tonight?
Of story is that?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. It's like, that happened. You know what I'm going to do after the show? Go get me a crab cake. Yeah. Commissions Baltimore 625.
I think we should all go there and eat.
It's just so expensive, though.
$34 for a crab cake?
That's a lot, dude. If it's like, that's
not
so
for a good
that's,
crab cake.
Comparatively, I'm not spending no, $34 or $66.
I'm not spending $66 because I'm not
Let
getting
me tell
two.
You something. This is one of my favorite.
No, Rob, one, there's one that is $66.
I don't need a crab cake that
twice
big.
The size
yeah,
of
that's
two.
Huge.
I'm just saying, they are. There is one on there that's $66.
I want to eat the pound.
Yes.
Of course you do.
And get pounded.
Orioles Mets up next on The Fan.
And a ground ball to second. McNeil will end the game. The Mets win it 7-6 in 10. As devastating a defeat as the Orioles have suffered this year. Their first game where they blew a four-run lead in the final two innings to lose since August 8th, 2023 against Houston. And the first time the Mets have come back from four down in the eighth inning on since May 2022, a ninth inning rally at Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's a tough one right here.
Oh, it was a very disappointing loss. It's a gut punch. That way you have one of your better relievers come in the eighth inning and he just gives it up so quickly that you can't even get the bullpen up quick enough to stop the bleeding. It's just, you know, that's just un-Brian Baker-like, un-Oriole bullpen-like.
He's done this twice now, right? Baker?
Not in the eighth inning, though. Orioles normally don't give up leads when he
Well, they had the issue in Tampa Bay. Who was that that gave it up? But I know
Wasn't that seventh inning? That was sixth or seventh inning, I think. I think their record was... I thought they were undefeated when leading.
They may have been, but I'm just saying...
Maybe it's leading after the eighth. Maybe it's leading after the eighth.
That might be it, but I don't care what inning it is. You can't come out and give up four runs.
No, you can't. I'm with you on that. Yeah. It's just, Jeremy, it happened so quickly, they couldn't even get anybody in for them. Yeah. Four batters into it, it's a tie ball game. That's just, it's un-Baker-like, man.
And
spoiled a good start by Young.
I was going to ask you, what did you think of Brandon Young's start? I mean, he was great until they started hitting him hard, like in the fifth.
He had an immaculate inning.
Yeah, immaculate inning. He looked great, and then they started just, I mean, obviously a home run, but started to get really hard contact.
Yeah, Joe
got an answer.
Baker gave up three in the eighth against St. Louis.
Okay.
But they didn't lose that game.
They didn't lose it. Yeah.
They did.
They did?
Yeah, they lost 7-4.
Hold on, but did they have the lead after eighth? Did that tie it?
Tied 4-4 going into the eighth.
That's,
he gave up three.
That's what it means. That losing the game was they led going into the eighth. Okay.
Well, they did lead going into the eighth there.
I thought he says tied 4-4.
Tied 4-4.
Yeah.
Going into the eighth, he gave up three.
It was a tied game. Yeah. Sorry, my apologies.
But still, the game, the point is, you're right. He had two of these eighth inning meltdowns. You can't do that.
Well, it just so here's the problem, and obviously everybody can see it, is that you've dug yourself such a hole that you can't have losses like this. You can't afford to lose to the Mets when they trot out that starting pitcher that you feel like you have the lead late in the game. The Mets have been awful on the road, and then you just let them right back in.
Yeah, they hit them around too, five runs in five innings.
And I told you today, like it's going to rain a little bit. It's going to be really hot, kind of like last night when you started to see all those runs being scored. And I was telling Rob that four of the Mets hitters show up in my top 10 hitters today, which isn't a good sign, and we've talked about it. Sagano's been hitting a lot of bats, or a lot of bats have been hitting Sagano, however you want to put it.
Yeah.
Those are big names, too, that came, you know, it was Alonso and Lindor and stuff.
Yeah, but even like on a daily basis of me checking this out, the only time that you see four batters in the top 10 is usually Coors, or if the wind's blowing out at Wrigley.
Oh, Coors Field.
Yeah, Coors Field. Because then you'll see, like, look, that's a cheat code, right? The same thing when the wind's blowing out at Wrigley.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. You said it best. If you're up, you know, or in this wild card, if this wild card hunt right now, that's one thing. But you're trying to get in it. You're fighting.
Well, and Gunner,
you're up four at home against a Mets team that's struggled lately. You got to win that game.
They suck on the road. Like, again, you're not playing them in New York. And I know it's one of those things that people are going, is it that? Yeah, go check it. Like, we've talked about pitchers that can't, like, I brought up the Nats pitchers. Jake Irvin pitches at home. He's okay.
Yeah.
He's good. He pitches on the road. He is trash. And the same thing goes for Mitchell Parker. Mm-hmm. Trash on the road. And you look at some of these guys and you wonder why those struggles happen, but you can't afford to go into situations like this and blow it. You just had Gunnar talking about they want to be buyers. I don't know how you're buyers when you keep coughing up games like this.
Gunnar was sending a message.
I get it. Yeah, I'm not faulting him at all.
I agree with you, but he was just sending a message. We're not out of it. 410-583-1057 is the number, Commission.
Just, I know you're going to beat me up over this, but I'm going to say it anyway because everyone seems to. What about Mullen's slide?
It was amazing.
Wasn't that amazing?
The fact that he kept his toe in the bag.
Yes. They have him. He's clearly out.
That's tremendous
got
athleticism.
Got the mid out and pulls that hand back.
That's athleticism. Oh, my. Flexibility, all those things.
To do that while you're in, you know, mid-flight there. Yeah. That was awesome.
That's,
it really was.
And that's the difference between stealing bases and being a base stealer.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean? Because you're thinking. You're a base stealer. You're thinking.
Yeah. It's not just being fast at all.
Now, let me ask you the question.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay. No. We're not doing this.
What?
Did you replay it at home?
Yes.
Yeah. Over and over and over.
A couple times.
Over and over and over.
Over and over and over.
It's like I do everything. Yes.
That famous commercial I heard.
The national commercial.
Yeah.
Mullins did it. Did you high five yourself?
I was very excited.
See? That's why you don't trade him. Commissioner's Baltimore 6:45, but on the other side. Tony Mancelino said yesterday he believes some guys could be motivated by trade talks because they don't want to go. Are you buying that? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 6:31 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. So Tony Mancelino says that players may be motivated, guys, by staying, or motivated for the trade talks because they want to stay here in Baltimore. I know there's a lot of motivation, but if I'm Ryan O'Hearn and I go on a heater right before the trade deadline, doesn't that make me more susceptible to being traded?
Yes, I think so. I would think so. I mean, it becomes very attractive as a trade piece.
This is what Tony Mancelino said exactly yesterday before the game.
Well, in a lot of ways, I think all those stories are kind of helping making my job easier because it's motivating these guys. A lot of these guys don't want to go anywhere. They like it here. So as every story kind of comes across the desk a little bit, you know, or something gets tweeted or however it's put out there, I don't really pay attention to a whole lot of it myself, but I know it kind of creates a lot of motivation for these guys. So there's a lot of chatter in there about, you know, trying to stay here, trying to get this thing going. So it's kind of making my job a little bit easier in some ways.
The only way I can see that, Jeremy, is if he's saying, you know, they know the only way not to get traded is to keep winning and get back in this thing. And that's the motivation?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I agree with what you guys were alluding to. Like, if you play better and you're still losing games, it's just going to mean that you get traded. Like, you can only have so many things happen in the next 2 weeks to really kind of push you one way or the other. And we have to be honest about it. If they get to the point and they're where they are right now, well, you didn't gain any ground in a month. What makes you think you're going to gain all that ground in 2 months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just think you got to be smart about it. I love O'Hearn, but if somebody's offering a prospect, I'm moving him. If somebody's offering something for Mullins or even one of these other contracts that are expiring, if a guy like Eflin doesn't want to come back here and he's made it clear, I don't know that he has, I'm trading his ass. Bottom line, like if you're not going to be here next year guaranteed, then I'm going to get something for you now.
Okay, in the same line, you just said if somebody offers you a prospect for O'Hearn, you're moving him. He has expressed he doesn't want to go.
It doesn't matter to me.
It just Eflin matters because he's the pitcher?
No, Eflin matters because I'd like to re-sign him. Like,
but you don't want to re-sign O'Hearn.
It's not that. If you trade away a pitcher and he goes to another team, you run the risk of him saying, hey, I like it here, and then they're going to re-sign, and then they pay him.
Right.
And then you can't negotiate with him while he's under contract there, until his contract's up. The same thing with O'Hearn. Like, we've talked about this. He's been really, really good here, but I don't think this is who he is for the rest of his career.
Again, I'm not trying to put work. I'm just trying to differentiate the two. You would...
We've heard that Eflin wants to go back to Tampa Bay. If that's the case, then I'm trading him.
But if it's not the case, you are more willing to keep him.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking.
Because starting pitching is more important than a DH.
That's all I'm asking. 410-583-1057. Not a personal thing against O'Hearn.
Oh, no.
It's his value of his position.
Look, if they win the next five games, I don't want them to trade anyone. Like, I'm hoping that they can continue this thing and give us something to watch leading into football. I just don't think it's going to happen because I really haven't seen it happen over the past month. I mean, they're better than they were at the beginning of the year. But that's just above 500, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Marginally.
Yeah, they still haven't become, to me, Ed, the team that they... I think the Orioles are close to a 600 type of team. Not a 500 team. I think if all things are even and they're healthy and they're playing ball, they're more of a 580 to 600 team. Not a 510
by the end of the year? Or
no,
the
if all things are even.
Or the rest of the season.
If all things are equal. I don't think that's going to happen this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I think we're going to look back 2-3 years from now and look at the 2025 season as the outlier. Yeah. That's the team that they're not, unless you have all these injuries, crazy injuries again next year.
It's always possible.
I think the lesson that they ought to learn here is depth. They could have gone out and signed some guys, Jeremy, to where you make the guys that you're relying on now. It should have been your backups in the first place.
Which ones are you talking about specifically?
Because
where were we? I mean, we had no holes in the lineup at the beginning of the year before the injuries. Like,
I think they could have done better than O'Neill.
Okay.
I think O'Hearn could have, the role that he was in before, that means you're better ahead of him. I think
O'Hearn's in the role. He's great in the role if you just have him facing right-handed pitching.
So who else do you have instead of him? That's my point.
Well, they had plenty of players they could have. We were sitting here fighting over who was going to be the DH. Like Kierstead when he was here should have been playing. You could have DH'd Sanchez until all these guys get hurt. Yeah. I mean, Sanchez is out 8 weeks now.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't see that gruesome, did it?
This has to be a ligament.
He's out for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
he's out for the rest of the year. 8 to 10 weeks, you're done.
Oh. Absolutely.
It's July. Yeah. You're done.
At that point, if he's playing over Basayo at any given point in September, I've got issues.
It's because that's when he's coming back. September?
Yeah.
Eight weeks would be early September.
Yes.
10 weeks would be late September.
The only way he's playing is if they get back into it.
Like, what are we going to do? What are they going to do? What are they going to do here? Because whether or not they take the series from the Mets and, you know, the Marlins and – to me, it's kind of irrelevant because you look at just where we are, just define reality. They're 40 and 50. Uh-huh. That means they're 72.
50.
There's, love that. There's 72 games left. It took them 90 games to win 40. Why do you think they're going to win 50 in the next 72?
I mean, look, it has happened, and you don't have to look too much further back than the
Tigers
Nats.
And the Mets have done it.
The Tigers did it last year. Yeah. The Nats made the run and won the World Series. Yeah, I mean, like, all those stories are great, but how often does it happen? How often does it, like, if we're using analytics here, they're going to tell
it's
you.
It's possible, it's not probable.
Right.
Exactly. 100%. You just nailed it. That's exactly it. And I love when we do this and we talk about it and somebody's like, well, that's never going to happen. Well, there is that small percentage. There's always that chance. I was just watching somebody in the World Series of Poker. They had a 99.9% chance of winning the hand. And they lost.
Man, so they're saying there's a chance. Let's go to Parkville and get Eli. What's up, Eli?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What's up, man?
Jack Flaherty, Cano, when Cano came out there and he threw, I was like, we lost.
Then why you got a jab all the time, Eli?
What you mean?
Jack Flaherty, Cano.
What you mean?
You always got to start a fight, man. You're the dude at the barbershop who comes in swinging. You got to start. You're that dude. You come in swinging.
Hey, real talk. I watched the movie last night called Maniac Cop. Never heard of it. When I saw it, I instantly thought of Ed.
Who's in it?
Maniac Cop. Did you guys ever see the movie Tango and Cash?
Yes.
You remember the dude with the gigantic chin? He goes, you broke that jaw?
Yeah.
He's Maniac Cop.
Is he really?
The dude with the jaw, yeah. And there's like how many Maniac Cops are? Like 7? They just kept making that crappy movie over and over again.
I'm offended.
Hey, Eli, have a good one.
I like Eli's comment there.
Maniac Cop. What a terrible, was it, 80s movie to bring?
1988.
Yeah.
Budget was $1.1 million, only made $670,000. Had Jake LaMotta in it.
Did it really?
Yeah, he uncredited as Detective Motta. Wow, they really went hard on that one.
No, I liked him in Coming to America when he's the cab driver.
You know why they do that, Joe?
You got a door, you got a gym.
Is that it?
With your own last name? You don't have to join the union.
Ah, okay, fair enough.
If you play yourself, unless you do more. Like in, that's why in The Wire I have my own name, because they thought it was going to be a one and done. If you have three speaking roles, you have to join SAG.
Well, so maybe the plot is a murderous former police officer returns from the dead and seeks revenge on the people who wronged him.
He's a maniac.
Let me tell you, Eli's right.
Well, you're still in SAG, right?
Yeah.
Let's reboot this bitch. Maniac Cop.
Because I got a list.
Wow, he keeps going after the same person. Why is that? They're already dead. Go ahead. Take it out.
There's a couple. There's a couple.
Kirk Cousins says he's unhappy with how things went down in Atlanta. We'll talk about that at 7:15. But on the other side, it's the Maniac Cops segment. What's up, Kimish?
Oh, well, we're going to talk about something that's happened in my life recently, and I almost said, can't believe what I've done to myself here.
Commissioner's Baltimore up next on The Fan. All right, Zero In, what you covering on your radar? What's on your radar this
morning? What's up on radar this morning is I teased the wrong thing. I was pretty shovel I thought we were at. For Commissioner's Baltimore, there's something going on in New York that's, if it's true, it's extremely serious. And it has to do with the NYPD. It just fits with the last comment about me being Maniac Cop. There's four former chiefs in the NYPD. And not to insult small departments, but you think about it, these guys spend years and years in that place. It's basically a 50,000 person company. There's only a handful of people at this level. Mm-hmm. Maybe like eight of them, unless they had a new bureaus or whatever. So it's a very small club. And four of them were forced to resign, allegedly. And the reason is really awful, if true. They're suing the mayor, and they're suing a former police commissioner. And if the allegation's true, it's like Tammany Hall days now. The former chief of detectives, Chief Essig, apparently, is a... they're claiming, Essig claims he was forced out of the NYPD by Caban, who was the commissioner, because Essig was bitching. He was protesting or pushing back against promotions of unqualified people. He said it was destroying morale, putting the city in danger. And I agree with that because I've seen this in my career, where they put people in who have no business in the position, who don't know what they're doing. And then you end up like, if you make a mistake and you work for Godiva Chocolates or something, okay, you lose a little bit of money. You work for a police agency, people die. Like, you can't have this. You can't have people who, mistakes happen, but you can't have idiots, at the top. And he claims he was forced.
Are these promotions were within or are they hiring on the outside?
Within.
Okay.
Well, as far as I know, these ones that they're talking about within. But now Essex was, he had more than 40 years on the job. And the suit alleges that the Caban, who was the commissioner, forced him to resign after he objected to promotions of unqualified officers to elite detective roles and specialized units. And this really, this happens not to what they're alleging, but I've seen it happen where they'll put people in who are the son of somebody,
okay,
friend of somebody, right, who's just not qualified for the job.
Now I got you.
Yeah. It's different. This one's bad. Because now they're alleging Essig's lawsuit, and this is where it gets really interesting, because they've sworn to this now and put this in the lawsuit. They're accusing of the former police commissioner of selling promotions or transfers for $15,000. That's a whole different animal. Hmm. That's a whole different thing.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. It's money. If it's $10.
This ain't chocolate.
It's like, this is serious, man. It's one thing if, all right, Jeremy's son, Rob's cousin. I'm the commissioner. I take care of your family. I promote these. Okay.
My little cousin, my big
your
cousin.
Little cousin. Right. You
know what he's got how, which cousin, though? Because he got a lot of cousins.
I know.
A lot of cousins.
But it's one thing if you do
can't
that.
Promote all of them.
But like, if people are paying to be promoted, this is exactly why civil service was created, was to prevent this. Because people used to pay to get these jobs in police departments because they were immigrants. They didn't have jobs. They couldn't get hired. The Irish couldn't get hired.
Sometimes the mob paid them to put people in.
Yeah, right. And, you know, they put people in like that, or you'd have, like, immigrants at the time. The Irish couldn't get jobs when he first came to the U.S. Said signs in the window, no Irish need apply. They went to civil service. What? That's true, actually.
That's I have a copy no of that. No Irish need apply.
That was their sign said Nina. Yeah, they had them all over. I learned this in when I did Jack the Ripper in the Tenement Museum. They had these signs, reproductions of them. They would hang them in the window. I talked to a guy who was the chief of narcotics when I was there. He was probably 60, so, you know, he was in a job a long time before he came to the U.S. from Ireland. He said he remembers those when he came over as a child. Anyway, this is serious stuff. And this, of course, goes back to Mayor Adams again, where it's his watch. He appointed Pagan. Pagan is allegedly accepting money for promotions to elite detective units. Like, and I can picture this. Everybody wants to go to the Major Case Squad. Major Case Squad did major cases, obviously.
Ton of overtime, too.
Overtime. Prestige, and also in New York, which is different. Like, we don't have this in Baltimore. I don't know what departments have. They have grades of detective. So there's third grade, second, and first. First grade, each is a different, like, second grade detective makes sergeants pay. First grade makes lieutenants pay, plus overtime. So you have no supervisory responsibility, and you can make pretty much unlimited overtime because you're investing in homicides or, say, there's an explosion.
And normally lieutenants on the street and things like that can't make overtime,
they can
right?
make, you can't. Captains can't. Captains are above. Okay. But all lieutenants, right. They cap out because you just have the next lieutenant, you know, take over.
Right.
The next guy coming on. With detectives, you can't because if you're handling something serious, you've got a fresh murder. Or you've got a, like I say, somebody, you know, blows up a building. And, you know, you can't just say, okay, you got it now. I'm going home. That you got to let them stick with it. So these guys can make a fortune doing this at that level if they're first grade detective with overtime. And this is just... This is really, you know, if you think about the whole history of this now, in the brief history, where the president has actually alleged his, you know, the charges dropped against Adams, because he was under federal indictment, all his people are under indictment, just that's been alleged. And now he's friends with the president. And now you've got this allegation from the former chiefs. So I don't know what's going on here. But when I read the story, and it just broke yesterday, it's only like 19 hours old, It's pretty disturbing, man.
Now, did you say the feds were involved in this?
No, the feds were involved in the Adams suit.
Do you don't think the feds going to have to get involved in this?
This, definitely.
It has to be a federal case.
But the lawsuit just came out. It's a civil case now, but now that it's public, I said this just broke yesterday.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to look at this because this is very serious. This isn't just a civil case that these guys are going to seek, you know, that they were forced to resign or whatever. And they're not resigning. I mean— You know, if you're the chief of detectives in the NYPD, you have 40 years on the job.
You're
going to retire anyway because they push you out at a certain age. You have to get out. And your pension is going to be enormous because you've had 40 years. So you're going to get basically your full salary or more than your full salary for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Because you have 40 years on it. After 20, it doubles when you hit 40, obviously. So I don't know if they're seeking money or they want to blow up the whole whatever's going on. But this is like, wow.
It's a crap show.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It makes me really sad because that's, you know, that agency, I went from boy to man in that place. I went from 20 years old to 40, come here. Yeah. And it just bums me out to hear this is even alleged because that's terrible. I've never heard of this in my entire life in this agency where people are paying cash to get moved to another assignment or something.
See,
and it's weird that they have a specific dollar amount.
$15,000?
Yeah. Like, it's not like they're saying they gave him something or, whatever.
You made a
work
business
in his house.
Huh? Made a regular business out of it.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Where there was a number attached to it.
Yeah.
Where it's one thing to say, you know, because a lot of cops have businesses on the side, like firefighters and all. You know, they'll do, maybe a guy's a contractor, a guy does whatever he does, and he works on your house, and then you took care of him. That's already shady. But if there's a dollar figure...
We had one down south, coming up on the break. We had a guy, we had this thing where it's supposed to be a rotation of tow trucks. Companies.
Yes.
And we had a guy who was he had his own tow truck service.
Mm-hmm.
He was invested in it, but he was a silent investor.
Yes.
But he owned the majority of it.
Yeah.
And he had something with the dispatcher.
Yeah.
That whenever she was on, and like he was getting cars towed that shouldn't have been towed.
And he was kicking back to her.
And yeah.
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 That's a real common thing.
That went on for 2 years.
Yeah. That's a big deal. Like, they watch that, like, even in Baltimore and New York, my experience, tow companies, that's a huge problem for police agents for that reason, where they rotate those guys, and if it's not their turn, and they jump
right up on. Thanks a lot, Ed. O's Mets at 7:30, but on the other side, Vegas believes the Ravens can eclipse their win total of 2024. But do you think they'll win all 15 games that they currently favored? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.